Close to quitting time, Ralph. Let's pick it up there in the morning.
Okay, Sam. Good night.
Good night, Ralph. Pleasant dreams.
In the first service, we had electricity, and my good friend Dan put together a Looney Tunes clip that was so fitting for this. As a matter of fact, I was laughing when we stumbled onto it. We said there's nothing greater than this actual Looney Tunes clip that featured Ralph and Sam. Sam the sheepdog. Ralph was the coyote that was trying to steal the sheep, and of course, Ralph always lost and Sam always won. You're not going to see that video today unless you want to go onto YouTube, and I'm guessing that knowing Dan's capabilities, it might be available to you later if you wish to watch it, but we'll see about that. In any case, here's what we know. We know that it is oftentimes difficult to determine the identity and the role of the sheep and the shepherd and the leader of our lives. Now, my father, he used to offer me some medical advice, or he used to use a medical term. In all of my years of knowing him, I don't think he ever had any extensive medical training. He served in Vietnam. I don't think he learned it there. But he certainly was free with his medical assessments that he gave to me, and he oftentimes called me a pain in the neck. Now, I can't disagree with him. I may have disagreed when I was younger, but today as I'm older, I realize that his medical assessment, even without training, was always spot on. Folks, we understand about stiff necks. We know them, we've experienced them, in many cases we've tried to live with them, and it's difficult. You know, our Heavenly Father, I think, was really the first to utilize and then characterize a similar non-medical assessment with regards to that term stiff neck. In fact, 9 times throughout Scripture, God uses the term stiff necked to assess his people. Now, we don't like stiff necks, I'm assured of that, and I can guarantee you that God does not either. We are oftentimes the cause of the pain that God feels. Now, I know that that sometimes is difficult for us to understand because in many cases I think we walk around and say, I'm the best blessing that ever happened to God. I just must be his favorite because I'm just so good. But at the end of the day, we know that we are fully capable of causing God pain. In fact, the question would be, can we cause God pain? How often do we cause him pain? And what kind of pain does he feel? You know, we know that Scripture says that we are called not to grieve the Holy Spirit, which means that we are capable of grieving and bringing pain to the Holy Spirit. We see in one of the shortest passages in Scripture, in fact, the shortest register in the English Bible, John 11:35, it says Jesus wept. Because Jesus presumably was losing Lazarus and he felt pain. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible translates the biblical term stiff-necked as a person or a sect of people who are stubborn, unyielding, arrogant, and proud. It goes on to say that the term stiff-necked people is a figure of speech or a metaphoric description of human rebellion or disobedience that's taken from stubborn domestic animals, such as oxen, that turn their shoulders away from the yoke and refuse to follow directions. Exodus 33:9, Exodus 33:3, Exodus 33:5. It is, thou art, ye are a stiff-necked people. Now, a stiff neck is painful to us, that we know. But I have to think that our stiff-necked, stubborn, unyielding, arrogant, and proud attitudes are even more painful to God, who longs to be our Heavenly Father and our perfect leader. This is evidenced in 1 Samuel chapter 8, where God's people went to Samuel and they asked him to give them a human king. God was their leader. God was their ruler. But for these people of Israel, they wanted out from that rulership. They no longer wanted that leadership. They no longer wanted
a theocracy where God was their king. They wanted a monarchy. They wanted a man to be their king. And they stubbornly and they arrogantly approached Samuel with this request. Now God told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8 verses 7 through 9, he says this to Samuel. He says, do as they say regarding this request. He says, do as they say, for I am the one they are rejecting, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually forsaken me and followed other gods. And now they're giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but warn them about what it will be like to have a king. Folks, with regards to the people of Israel, they were a pain in God's neck. Why? Because they possess a stiff neck, and we are no different. You see, we can look back on this, and in many cases we can say that the people of Israel had problems, and folks, we can look at ourselves today and we can say, we got problems. And in many cases, we look at our own situations and we can self-assess ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit and His written word and say, we might have similar stiff necks. Now let me ask you this. Doesn't a stiff neck affect us in negative ways? I mean, how does a stiff neck do it? What have you had it? I've been experiencing it for 3.5 months, so I know all about it. But here's what a stiff neck does. First, it hinders our vision. You ever try driving with a stiff neck? Try changing lanes on Veterans Parkway with a stiff neck. It is almost impossible. Literally, you will lean on those mirrors like you've never leaned. In addition, a stiff neck also hinders our activity. It limits our activity. It does not allow us to fulfill our activity. If your kids ever come up when you have a stiff neck, you know this. And they come and they say, hey, let's play. We want to go out and play. You say, it affects our mood, doesn't it? I have never met one person that said, I am having such a great day today because my neck is stiff and hurts. Nobody likes a stiff neck. Everybody is upset when their neck is stiff. And God gets upset too. You see, God's people's stubborn, unyielding, arrogant, and proud, stiff-necked attitude and actions were about to hinder their vision. And it was going to greatly impact their activity, and subsequently, it was going to destroy their mood. 1 Samuel 8:18 says this. God says, you will shed bitter tears. This comes from Samuel. You will shed bitter tears because of this king you are demanding. But the Lord will not help you. It's as if God was saying, it's your wish. It's your choice. It's your neck. You see, God knew the root and the fate of those stiff-necked people. Deuteronomy 10:16 says this. It says, cleanse your sinful hearts and stop your stubbornness. Deuteronomy 9:6, you are a wicked, stubborn people. Isaiah 48:4, I knew how hard and obstinate you are. Your necks are as unbending as iron. You are as hard-hearted as brass. Jeremiah 11:8, your fathers won't even listen. Each followed his own stubborn will and his proud heart. They disobediently denied God's kingship and leadership, and they arrogantly assumed at all times that they knew best. They trusted their vision for the future, not God's. They wanted to control their own activity and not be controlled by God. They only considered their current mood and not what would happen if they, in fact, left God. Christian author Kenny Bowles says this. He says, from the day that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they had been whining and disobeying and turning to worship other gods. God had experienced the same kind of rejection as Samuel faced, only more so, end quote. Their stiff necks negated God's leadership. Aren't we guilty of the same stiff neck cycle today? Haven't we at one time or another, and perhaps now more than ever, haven't we said, I don't need God's leadership today? I can control my activity. I have controlled and I consider my own mood. And I can make sure because I have the best vision for my future. And God, I don't need you. And in many ways today, our world has turned their backs and subsequently shown their stiff necks to God. And today, more than ever, we need to reconsider God. Is he our leader? In many cases, I think we say something like this: I know better than you, God. We say, I can do better than what you give me, God. I can feel better without you part of me, God. And at the end of the day, we are not getting any better. And subsequently, we have tried to remove God from everything seemingly around us. A Christian writer once said this. He says, man thinks of himself first and regards God as an afterthought. Yet God is creator and sovereign. As followers of him, we should yield all things to his control. We are to set our affection, which is our mind, on the things above, says this writer, denying to self the wicked and ungodly evils of this present world, end quote. From a personal and a spiritual and a national perspective, how many people believe that the God we worship should be the same God who provides us leadership? How many people believe that we Christians should not behave like Balaam's stubborn donkey? If you remember that story in Numbers 22, 21 through 35. And man, was he stubborn. But in reality, probably had better vision than Balaam did. Because at least he saw the angel of the Lord and tried to at least warn Balaam about the angel of the Lord. But he was stubborn. And he got beat because of it. Are we going to be beat because of it? Are we like a stubborn donkey? Are we like the stubborn mule? Are we like the stiff-necked oxen? You see, rather, we are called today to obey and trust the leadership and guidance of our Heavenly Father. Isn't God supposed to be our leader? In essence, we should say maybe something like this: God, I don't want to be stiff-necked. And I don't want to be hard-hearted. I just want to be soft-spoken. I just want to follow your will and purpose for my life. I want you to lead me. I just want to be easily guided. I'm going to look at our sermon text today. Psalm 32, 8 through 11. And this passage is interesting. If you notice the sermon title in your bulletin, you're going to see something that seems a little strange. You'll say, what in the world? How can that come together? But we're going to try to make that come together based on this sermon text that we read today. And I always love reading the Psalms. I think they're wonderful. They have a great message. Today's message coincides perfectly with what we're talking about today. Here's what the psalmist says, starting with verse 8, chapter 32. He says, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all those who are his, and shout for joy, all those who try to obey him. Dwight D. Eisenhower once said this. He says, in the swift rush of great events, we find ourselves groping to know the full sense and meaning of these times in which we live. In our quest of understanding, says Eisenhower, we beseech God's guidance. Do we long to be led by God? Now, verses 8 and 9 are interesting. Because it says, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line. You see, if we say that we don't want to be the unyielding, arrogant, proud, stiff-necked, stubborn horse, mule, or oxen, then we've got to be trusting and yielding and listening, humble sheep who follow the leadership of our Lord and our Savior and our Shepherd. Now, this illustration of us as sheep and Jesus as our Shepherd is seen throughout Scripture. For example, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:25, he says, like sheep, you wandered away from God, but now you have returned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls, who keeps you safe from all attacks. Israel wanted a human king. They didn't want God to be their leader. And their stiff necks, as God pointed out in 1 Samuel chapter 8, was going to lead to pain and tears and enslavement and attacks. Folks, do we long to be one nation under God. Don't we long to be Christians whose shepherd and leader is God? Are we willing to get rid of our stiff necks and stick our neck out and be sheep who follow God? You know, I was thinking back when I was in school, our teacher had an exercise. This is a long time ago, because I was in grade school. I remember it was a coloring exercise. And we got to draw, which was always a good thing. And I remember that on this particular occasion, the teacher asked us, you know, we were young elementary kids, said, this is your exercise. I want you to think of an animal that you want to be and then draw it in color. Now, I remember what my animal was. I remember. I can share with you what it was. But I can assure you of this. I didn't see all the drawings. I know our teacher did. But I can assure you that there was probably not one little kid in that school that drew a picture of a sheep. You see, we were drawing pictures of horses and dogs, and I'm sure there were stallions. I mean, some drew lions. I was a cub. I drew a cub. I know you're shocked by that. But we all wanted these powerful animals that could attack, scare people, that were friendly and pets. And not one person, I'm convinced, ever considered drawing a picture of a sheep. I mean, why would you want to be a sheep, you ask? I mean, what do? They eat. You get wool from them. They're pretty friendly and they're rather tame. But they don't really have a whole lot of allure. As a matter of fact, the sheep is probably of all animals the least glamorous. And yet, we're told to be sheep. In fact, we're encouraged to be sheep by Jesus. And I'm thinking back on this, and I'm thinking if this was an elementary exercise, we'd all fail the exercise. Because if we did it today and I asked you to color your own picture, be an animal! And you'd say, I'm not going to be a sheep. I always wanted to be a lion. I'm not going to be a sheep. Today, we are called to be sheep. Strange. Hebrews 13:20 says this. May he, Jesus, who became the great shepherd of the sheep by an everlasting agreement between God and you, signed with his blood, producing you through the power of Christ all that is pleasing to him. Now you might ask, because I ask, what is pleasing to him? I mean, if we're going to be sheep, what might just be pleasing to him? And the answer lies in our sermon text. These answers, they do not come from a stiff-necked people. Rather, they are the attributes of sheep. Not stubborn horses or oxen or mules. They are the attributes of God's people. They are obedience. They are faithfulness. And they are humility. And they shall be prevalent and found among God's people. John said in 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4, he says, loving God means doing what he tells us to do. And really, that isn't hard at all. For every child of God, here it comes, can obey him, defeating sin and evil pleasure by trusting God to help him. Are we, like sheep, willing to obey? Immediately be led by him. Now, regarding this faithfulness, that second attribute of what's pleasing to him, regarding our faithfulness, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Like sheep, do we trust in our Lord and Savior, our leader, our shepherd? Are we humble enough to follow him and yield to him? Proverbs 3:34 says this, the Lord helps the humble. William Barclay once said, to deny oneself means in every moment of life to say no to self and yes to God. To deny oneself means once, finally and for all, to dethrone self and to enthrone God. To deny oneself, says Barclay, means to obliterate self as a dominant principle of life and to make God the ruling principle, more the ruling passion of life. The stiff-necked person says, I know better than my heavenly Father. The innocent sheep, the obedient, faithful, humble believer says, I want God to be my shepherd. I want him to be my ruler, my king, my leader. You see, Jesus knew to follow his Father.
though they were equal in nature. He knew this. I mean, if you read John 14, 23, kind of spells this out, kind of gives us an indication of what that relationship was like. But what this does is it makes Jesus the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. And in this passage, he makes it clear that we must actually listen to him and follow him. I'm going to read to you today a passage from John chapter 10. This is where we find that good shepherd passage. I'm going to read to you some of the verses that are found in John chapter 10. I got to share as an aside. This is kind of cool. I got a million bookmarks. I mean, I've collected them throughout the years. I get them all the time. So I was reaching into my collection. I didn't see which one I was pulling out, so it's kind of a surprise. And folks, among all the bookmarks that I pulled out, you're not going to be able to see it probably. Look at that. Reached in and pulled out the little sheep. I'm like, all right, God, I know I'm supposed to be talking about this today. So there you go. You actually get the sheep bookmark today. Here's what it says. John chapter 10, starting with verse 7, moving through verse 16. Listen to what Jesus says. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the gate, capital G. I am the gate for the sheep, Jesus said. All others who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in by way of the gate will be saved and will go in and out and find green pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man will run when he sees a wolf coming and will leave the sheep, for they aren't his and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf leaps on them and scatters the flock. The hired man runs because he's hired and has no real concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too and another fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Moving on to verses 27 through 30 of John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can kidnap them from me. I and the Father are one. And when we obediently and faithfully and humbly yield to him and listen to him and follow him, he protects us and provides for us because the shepherd risks his life for his sheep. And Jesus can be called the good shepherd because he died for us. You know, David risked his life. He was a shepherd. He risked his life for a sheep. Read about that in 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. Jesus gave his life for us sheep. Do we listen to and trust the good shepherd to guide our lives? Do we see that Jesus is the shepherd that all of us need in our lives? The Reverend C. Leslie Miller tells a story. I think it's interesting. It actually happened to him. He says, near twilight, I was strolling with a GI friend in the environs of Casablanca, North Africa. Lifting our eyes toward the horizon, we saw a great billowing cloud of dust coming. As it neared us, we could vaguely discern the shadowy forms of sheep. A moment later, we saw thousands of sheep making their way to the watering troughs. What a sight it was to see all those sheep plunge their heads into the sparkling, refreshing water. Having slaked their thirst, the sheep stood lazily and contentedly. Then some half dozen bronzed shepherds walked off in different directions. One shepherd, in a trilling, sing-song way, uttered a call which was totally unintelligible to me, but not to a sizable number of those mixed up sheep. Instantly, they perked up their ears and ran toward their shepherd. The other shepherds did as the first one had done until all of the sheep had disentangled themselves from the other sheep and had rallied to the call of their respective shepherds. Says Miller, how thrilled I was to see that never-to-be-forgotten sight. Before my eyes had been portrayed the meaning of the words spoken by the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They know not the voice of strangers. End quote. Do we know the voice of God, our leader?
In essence, when you read his word, is he your leader? When you pray to him and he gives you answers, do you recognize him as your leader? When you come into a church and there's no electricity, but you feel the power of the Holy Spirit and you realize that we're doing this without the amenities that we are commonly used to, is he still our leader? Today, would you say that we want and we need God to be our leader? Are we willing to say to our good shepherd, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Folks, what happens if we no longer long to be one nation for obedient, faithful, humble Christians under God? What happens if we choose a different leader, not named God? What happens to this world we live in? What happens to this nation that we love? What happens to the very church that we worship in if we say that we do not need God as our leader? What happens if we turn a stiff neck away from God? Proverbs 1:29 through 33 holds the answer. It says, "For you closed your eyes to the facts and did not choose to reverence and trust the Lord. And you turned your back on me, spurning my advice. That is why you must eat the bitter fruit of having your own way and experience the full terrors of the pathway you have chosen. For you turned away from me to death. Your own complacency will kill you. Fools! But all who listen to me shall live in peace and safety, unafraid." You know, this last verse sounds similar to our last verses, 10 to 11, of our sermon text that we read today. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but abiding love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. So rejoice in him, all those who are in his, and shout for joy, all those who try to obey him. You see, folks, the sheep, they listen to the shepherd. The sheep obey and trust their shepherd. And the 23rd Psalm, which is such an amazing psalm, and it's a psalm that you've heard, it's a psalm that you've read, it's a psalm that you're familiar with. I'm assuming that it is a psalm that you leaned on in faith when you lost a loved one and that pastor stood up there in front of your family and your loved ones and your friends and read that passage. And it meant something to you and you heard it, but it may not have registered because you were grieving because you lost a loved one or a friend or a neighbor, whomever it might be. Today we're going to listen to it. And today I want you to listen to these words and I want you to realize just how important it is to have the Lord as our shepherd. This is the 23rd Psalm. You are not grieving today. Rather, we're rejoicing because we can still make Jesus Christ our shepherd. Here's what it says. It says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He restores my soul. He helps me to do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding, all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home." Does that give you assurance? You see, that assurance comes from our obedience. That assurance comes when we say, "God, I want this, and I want Jesus to be my shepherd and my leader. I don't want to have to fear. I want to live in faith. I want to know that we're going to be protected, we're going to be safe, and I want to know that this world that we live in, with everything that's happening around us because of bad leadership and poor leadership, I want to know that you're still going to be our king and you're going to still provide us your rulership." This is what we need today, folks. This is what we are begging for today. As a nation, as Christians, don't we need a perfect and sovereign shepherd and leader? Are we willing to be those sheep? Are we willing to relent our stiff neck and rather stick our neck out and admit that we need to humble ourselves like sheep and get over ourselves
and yield to the leadership and the guidance of our good shepherd. We know how much a stiff neck pains us. Think about how much our stiff necks, our pride and our arrogance and our stubbornness pains Jesus. In Matthew 25:31-34, we are introduced to this passage that tells us that the shepherd Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus, the good shepherd, will do this. Are we going to be part of this? How will we be separated? How will we be denoted? And will we be protected? Because Jesus says, I'll protect you. And I'll lead you. And I'll guide you. And I will get you, as only the good shepherd could do. I will get you to my perfect home. Are we willing? Folks, I don't want to be a pain in God's neck. Rather, I want to stick my neck out today. And I want all of us to realize today that we are a world and a nation and a group of Christians that need new leadership today. And the new leadership we need is the oldest leadership that is known to man. Is the leadership that is provided by our good shepherd. The leadership that's provided by God that says, I am greater than any king, I am greater than any ruler. And if you submit to me and you yield to me and you choose to follow me, you choose to become sheep, I will get you where I want you to be. That's what we need today. Well, folks, this is interesting because we have no electricity. The sun is actually coming out, so there is good news. We have a man here in Ken Osley who knows something about generators, so there is hope. All right, with that said, folks, here is the thing I want to share with you in closing, and that is, and my wife and I on birthday eve, today's her birthday, on birthday eve, had a conversation about this last night, and it's a struggle. It is a struggle because we live in a world that's broken, and folks, you've seen that. All you have to do is look at the news. I struggle with this every day. I struggle with whether I watch the news and follow it as closely as I do with the anticipation that it's going to really bring me down. I mean, you read a lot of the stuff that's going on out there, and it is sad, and it is terrifying in some cases. But I also know that as disturbing as it is, it's encouraging because it reminds us that even as this world spins out of control and we've chosen to opt for different kinds of leadership, that God is still our leader. And he's still our creator, and he's our designer, and he's the one that's in charge of all of this. And so as crazy as things get, and as things spin out of control, we have to remember this. God's still in control. But we have to remember to keep him in control. And that responsibility first starts with his very people that worship him and put him in charge of our lives. This is our goal today. Our goal today starts right here in this church for his people, and that is for us to be able to say, God, you're my leader, and you'll always be our leader. And if we can do that, then we can share and extend that message beyond the walls of this church. And we can encourage people, even amidst the bad news, that there is good news. That our shepherd has prepared for us a home, a place where he's taking us. That is what we lean on today. And I pray today that we would be willing to humble ourselves, to give up the idea of becoming lion and cubs and bears, and that rather we would say, today I long to be a sheep. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you just want us to be humble. You need us, and I know that you need us to go out and to share the message that's encouraging to the people around us. You're our leader. And we put you in control of our lives. We yield to you, and we give you our lives. And I pray today that you'll take the arrogance and the disobedience and the stubbornness and all of those things that trip us up. And I pray today that we will look up and that we will lean on you as our shepherd and our leader. This world needs you. Our nation needs you. And this church need you to be our sovereign leader. Help us to do this today, I pray. Help us to put our faith and trust in you each and every day. And help us to grow into Christ's likeness as we live on this earth. We thank you for every blessing that we have. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We did it! We made it, folks! We didn't need electricity! Oh, no! No. Although it would be nice to have help when I have a piano. Have a great week, everyone!